Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
So there's tons of NFL. We're going to start our big NFL predictions analysis for the season ahead tonight. We'll give you big, bold predictions for teams, for individuals. But before we get to the games, to say this, all our thoughts and prayers with Cedric Ceballos right now, who is a longtime friend of the show. We've had Ced on the show for years talking NBA with us. Yeah. And he put up a post on Twitter earlier today. This is his 10th consecutive day in the ICU unit, as he has been dealing with a very bad case of COVID. And I'll read to you from his Twitter page, in which he put a picture of himself up with a big mask over his face. On my 10th day in ICU, COVID-19 is officially kicking my butt. I am asking all family, friends, prayer warriors, healers for your prayers and well wish for my recovery. If I have done anything and anything to you in the past, allow me to publicly apologize. My fight is not done. Thanks. And that was said earlier today, a few hours ago, and you can tell how serious he's looking in the situation he's in. And he's apologizing to people, if I've wronged you. Like, this is what you do when you're scared and you think, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to talk to anybody again. So all our thoughts and prayers for Cedric Ceballos as he deals with COVID. Again, his 10th consecutive day in the ICU. At least I could say that the fact he can take a picture and put it on Twitter, he's okay enough, but you don't know how things are going to go. And again, well, you know, Ced's been a friend of the show for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still remember when he came on and said the Warriors were going to go 82-0, and he bagged me and say, no, they're going to go 82-0, man. Like, hey, come on, they're going to lose again. No, how are they going to lose? They got this. They're going to go 82-0 with Kevin Durant. They're not going to lose a game. It's going to be all the way through. It's going to be easy. I said, what about the second nights of back-to-backs? What about when they rest? No, they still have enough. Oh my God, that was awesome.
We've had a lot of fun with Ced on the show, and I hope to do so again. So all the good thoughts to him. I saw that this morning, and you know, just the number of folks that you and I have known, Jason, who've dealt with this stuff. Some who unfortunately didn't make it out of it. So you know, this one just kind of hits again. You know, when you took off any time during basketball season, Ced was in here a bunch with me. So we had a lot of chats, a lot of behind the scenes stories, and he still owes me a ride on his Batman motorcycle thing that he drives around. So
you had to do
all
it, really?
The best wishes, man.
You couldn't just say motorcycle.
Dude, it looks like it was straight out of the Dark Knight, man. I'm telling you. The thing he would roll in on that, you know, if the gates weren't working, it was too wide to get past. Like, there was no chance you were walking that around the edge. You know, you needed it to lift because that thing was heavy as hell. But no, lots of good thoughts. You just see the outpouring of love from the sporting world. But, you know, another reminder, you know, reach out to your people. We keep saying that every night, either, you know, yesterday with Michael K. Williams or Tunch Ilkin over the weekend. You know, just make sure people get right, and check in on your people.
I would just want to know that you got out, Master Bruce. I wouldn't need to talk to you. I would just need just that you got out, that you got Harmon out on that motorcycle, gave him a ride, and then just kicked him out like halfway through. He rolled through the street like it was a stunt. I would just want to know that Harmon got out.
That's the hope.
Because I'm picturing you like in the sidecar of the motorcycle with the goggles on and smiling like, you know, hey, I'm in the sidecar of the motorcycle. That's kind of how I'm picturing Ced Ceballos driving you in the motorcycle.
Old school sidecar. I like that. Yeah. Man, you know, the bat cycle had it sometimes. Sometimes it didn't. I mean, you know, it depends on what you needed and what the script called for.
If you want to put a wish to Ced Ceballos on Twitter, he is at Ced Ceballos. That is at Ced Ceballos. Keep fighting. He says the fight is not done. Keep going. Keep kicking ass and keep doing your thing, Ced. We're all thinking about you here at Fox Sports Radio. But our business, of course, is sports. And look, it's a big week in the NFL. We're going to make big predictions about things in the season. I got a doozy for you coming up in about 10. I mean, a real doozy coming up in about 10 minutes. And it's not a Jets prediction. Okay, just right now, it's not a Jets prediction. I could have a good doozy Jets prediction, but it's not a Jets prediction.
Oh, okay.
I promise.
Well, I mean,
it's not
since,
a Jets
since,
prediction.
You know, you saw the story that was just circulating a little while ago, right?
Which one? You say which Jets
story? No.
Like,
it's I need to make you nervous, but it was a positive one of Zach Wilson going up to Robert Saleh because he had a question about something, and 4 hours later, just like, kids, you need to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah, when they have the big chalk talks at night at camp, when they sit and roast marshmallows together and talk
great.
About X's and O's all the
bust
way into the end of the night.
Bust out a little projector flying up out of the ground behind the logs. It's good.
That's a great story. I know they have that kind of relationship. I thought you were going to say, hey, did you hear this? And Zach Wilson said, hey, it's Super Bowl or bust this year for us or, you know, some kind
no,
of
that
crazy
would be fantastic.
Like that.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. It's Super Bowl or bust for the Jets. What is going on? What is happening? Stop saying that. So, again, that wasn't what happened. But as we say, hey, we make predictions here on the show. We talk about things all the time. And, look, most of the time we're right. Sometimes we're wrong.
And
last week when I said, hey, listen, remember we talked about all the superstar players that are unsigned going into the season and the guys that have no chance of playing. I said, Le'Veon Bell, he's got a 0% chance of ever playing in the NFL again. Who's going to sign this guy, right? He was awful with the Jets. He basically held out, got paid, and did nothing. He goes to the Chiefs, who couldn't even use him on the field when they needed him the most in the playoffs last year. He was a DNP in the Super Bowl. So who really is going to sign him again? Look at him. He's unsigned all the way through camp. Even with injuries, no one's going to sign him. It's a 0% chance. Sources say the Ravens are adding Le'Veon Bell to their practice squad with a plan to move him up to the active roster and elevating him very soon. So Le'Veon Bell will be back in the National Football League. Baltimore, who of course have lost two running backs to season-ending injuries. They didn't call Todd Gurley. No. We're calling Le'Veon Bell. Okay, yes, he's back in, and yes, I got this wrong, but do you really think what do you think you're getting with Le'Veon Bell? I don't suddenly it's going to be, hey man, I was watching highlights of him from like 2014 and boy, it was great. If we get this guy, yeah, let's sign him. Look at those highlights. That's really what people do.
Break glass in case of emergency. That's kind of where we're at. Mm. We talked about it with Jason Lockenfora, who's out there in Baltimore yesterday. And look, the guy that you're still looking at is Tyson Williams. You know, he's going to be the number two to Gus Edwards. Justice Hill was a guy that couldn't stay healthy in training camp and made it just based on a numbers game. That's just the way it worked. But you're looking at a guy 6 feet, 220. Is Tyson Williams can catch the ball out of the backfield, not afraid to mix it up in between the tackles as well. So he's going to get the first shot. And Le'Veon Bell is there. All right, he looked good. He beat out the other guys they brought in, Devontae Freeman and these other guys. That's all fine and good for now. This is a placeholder. This is a Band-Aid. And I actually gave it, what did I give it, 10%, 20% like that?
I think so, yeah.
Just as a, all right, he might get a sniff. But remember, when they were having all those injury issues in Kansas City last year, right, when you had Damian Williams opt out, Edwards-Helaire had his injury, he couldn't beat out Darrell Williams. So what am I expecting here? I mean, Gus, unless Gus goes down, and I ain't speaking that into existence because he's one of my favorite players to watch, man, especially if that offensive line is motoring. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, but he went to Tottenville, man. He went to high school in Tottenville. I can't root for a guy that went to Tottenville.
My
high school's arch enemy is Tottenville. We hated Tottenville. We hated them. Oh, they'd show up in purple the whole time. Everybody was in purple. The whole team, the uniforms were purple. The families came. They were all in purple. The little kids were all in purple. Oh, we're purple. We're purple. Oh, I couldn't stand that. He went to Tottenville. I can't root for the guy. I can't root for him.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, no, that's the you're entitled. That's fine.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I have some problems with some administrators and some fantasy leagues that I need to talk about in terms of guys going straight to free agency instead of having a pre-week one waiver wire thing. In other words, if you're not attached to your computer, you're screwed. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. We make the best of it, and we put our waiver claims in where we can, and we get ready for week one. But, yes, Le'Veon Bell is back. He's back. He's like Voldemort. He's back. And I don't know what that means. I would love to see Le'Veon Bell playing like he did 4 years ago before he opted out of football. And then everything kind of went to hell from there. Because once upon a time, he was what, a top three back?
Yeah. No, look, he was. It's not too long ago he was. And suddenly, look where Le'Veon Bell is now. This is why when we say, hey, the running back position gets overvalued, it's because something like this, a guy could be the best, and then he's just not after a year. And now you're seeing teams, they still like to run the football, but they're not going with the one bell cow. It's going to be, we got to get a couple of guys in here because an injury could kill us. Took everybody so many years to figure out, boy, if we lose our number one running back to a torn ACL or some kind of injury, we're really screwed. We got to get a bunch of guys in here, and we can't give a lot of money to the running back position. Look, Le'Veon Bell, you could tell he held out. All he wanted to do was get paid. When he's worried about physically and his health, I mean, just think about that for a second. When a guy says, hey, I'm worried about what happens if I get hurt and I don't have financial security. Is that guy really going to try when he gets that financial security? No, of course not. And it's not something where he just decides, hey, I'm done, I'm quitting. It's just, I don't work as hard as I used to. I don't do the things, the little things that I used to do to get ready for games and stuff in games I can do because I got my security. And if I get hurt, I get hurt. That's what happens to guys when they're all about the money. When that's the case and you pay them, it never works out. Right? It never, ever works out. And I knew it wasn't going to work out. I was excited because I was like, all right, because the Jets don't get good players, you know, so to get a guy who was the best running back in the game, hey, this is great. But I knew it wasn't going to work out because it never does. It never does for guys that say, listen, I really, really am focused on the money here. And everybody is focused on the money. I get it. But when you are over the top so and you talk about it and you talk about, I need this and I need this if I'm going to sacrifice my body and I want this kind of money and this kind of money, then you have lost your balance as to what it means to be a successful player in the National Football League, which you need if you're going to continue to play, continue to get contracts, and continue to make money. Because what it is I'm happy with, you know, I got the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow here. But what about other pots of gold? No, there's no more pots of gold. If you're grabbing this one pot of gold, whatever you can carry, you get to keep. But there's no stopping for more money. There's no way you're going to get more money because once you do this, and that's it, you're not going to get paid again. And so now Le'Veon Bell's on, okay, I'm just never going to get paid again. Never. He's never going to get paid again.
Well, whereas that's just always the difficult thing with the signing bonuses up front, right? That's part of the game of chicken that you're playing as an organization about where the player is in terms of his process and why posting to social media and some of those other things, and in Le'Veon Bell's case, some of the rap lyrics and stuff start to be used in a, all right, what are we doing here? And look, you never make up that 15.5 he gave up and he walked out on. And as I've been consistent since the day I started doing this broadcast and years before that, man, it's go get your bag. I don't blame a guy for betting on himself and trying. Just remember that your decisions will have consequences, short-term, long-term. And Le'Veon Bell, as soon as you opted out, you opened the door to a lot of questions about what your considerations were because you had a pretty good contract, right? And then goes to the Jets, still gets a pretty sizable bag. But once that initial payout is there, plus all the hits, plus, you know, because that's when you start doing your, all right, let's do our algorithms of where drop-offs are based on a guy's usage in college into the pros and everything else. And for Le'Veon Bell, between his rushing and receiving totals, I mean, we're talking heavy, heavy workloads for a long time. So the cliff was going to come. Add that to, as you say, just questions about want to and wanting to be a 300-touch guy. Yeah, you've got problems that ensue from there.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith show with Mike Harmon. Good luck with Le'Veon Bell, Ravens. I mean, good luck. I mean, really, good luck because you're going to need it because he's not good. Good luck.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Here is my first big, bold prediction for the NFL season. The team who is going to finish with the best record in the AFC,
Cleveland,
is going to be Alex Teichert.
Miami.
No, no, no. What do I always tell you? Is a broken clock always right twice a day?
Wait, was I right?
The
Hit
Cleveland
that music.
Cleveland.
This pick's for you.
The Cleveland Browns will have the best record in the AFC. Look how excited Tyshirt is.
So
he doesn't know one player on the Browns, but he plays that drop all the time.
I don't even think they're in that region.
It's a conference. Look, this is the Browns' year. They should finish with the best record in the AFC because likely they'll be favored in almost every game they play. I mean, not against the Chiefs, but they'll be favored in just about every game they play. They were a big, deep playoff team last year, and their offense is loaded. Baker Mayfield is the perfect quarterback for that team, right? They figured out exactly how to do things offensively. They're deep at running back. They're deep at receiver. They are loaded. But more importantly, in the offseason, they took care of everything they had to do defensively, right? They went out in free agency, and they signed a couple of defensive backs that are going to be big for them, right? They go out and get Jadeveon Clowney. They use their top two picks to get defensive players in the draft. They did exactly what they needed to do. Okay, our offense is fine. Are we really going to add him? Well, we'll figure out Odell if he plays this, he's that, Our offense is good. Hey, let's make sure we fix the defense because that's what we have to do. And they bring in seven new names who are going to play big roles. This is Cleveland's year, all right? It's going to be a down year in the division anyway. Pittsburgh's going to stink. I think the Ravens are going to come back to earth a little bit. Cincinnati is starting out again. They should finish the season with the best record in the AFC. The road to the Super Bowl goes through Cleveland. It just goes to show you, just because you're for a long time laughing stock, loser, franchise, everybody makes fun of, sometimes there's a way out of that pit. You just have to make sure you want to leap, have that big leap of faith when you know that there's no bottom there. That's how you get out of that pit. The Browns, the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC goes through Cleveland. They will finish with the best record in the AFC.
Need a busload of faith to get by, Lou Reed sang all those years ago. Busload of faith to get by. Good offensive line, good run game. Your guy, Baker Mayfield, so long as he stays within himself like he did a year ago, not the gaudy numbers, but taking care of the football. As for Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, we did a whole thing, LeVar and I, a week ago Sunday because he started calling out offensive linemen. That's like, dude, you've done nothing. All right, for several years now, just because you got Myles Garrett over there doesn't suddenly mean you're going to be Superman again. You're still trading off the reputation of a big hit you made in college when Steve Spurrier was talking about Clowney. I do like the fact that you do have Greg Newsome getting a little bit of love, the rookie out of Northwestern. Curious to see how the defense hold up, although I think the division's going to be better. And I think from the AFC, your wins leader comes out of the division, but it is the injury depleted running back situation, because it doesn't matter. Lamar Jackson's still going to run for 800 to 1,000 yards alongside Gus DeBus, and they'll find other people with Tyson Williams. Those receivers will eventually get on board. The defense will be ready to go. I'm going to take the Ravens to have the highest total of the year.
Hey, listen, I hope you're right, because you and I have Lamar Jackson in a big fantasy league, I got him in another league. So, hey, I'm hopeful for that. Did the Ravens really get better? Did they solve their issues in the offseason? And they're losing, and they lost a couple of running backs, and they're bringing in Le'Veon Bell. That's going to be tough, man. Eventually, the league's going to catch up to Lamar Jackson a little bit. And for the Browns, this is a year where if they don't take that big step, and this is the not the danger in it, but life in the NFL, if they don't take that big step this year, there's got to be changes. Because it's okay if they don't take that next big step from 11-5 to winning the division to going further in the playoffs, it's okay, we got to move stuff around here. And it's okay, it's Baker Mayfield going forward, depending on the year he has. Are we good with our running backs? Need to upgrade at wide receiver? How are we going to fix these things? But I'm pretty confident that that's not going to happen. Look, Kevin Stefanski came in and grabbed a hold of that team right away. And the last 12 games of last year, the Browns played with such mind-numbing consistency. They scored big. They made enough plays. They were able to throw the football when they had to. They were able to run the football when they had to. They are an all-weather team. Mayfield's the perfect quarterback. I'm telling you, man, The Browns. I feel like we're going back to like 1988 with Kozar and Webster Slaughter and Ernest Biner. But
you
this is
Ernest
the Browns
Biner
year,
in,
man.
So you've really hit the next level.
I've won with Ernest Biner. I've won.
No, that's good. yeah, from the Ravens side, just for a moment, the upgrades at wide receiver. Now, Sammy Watkins isn't a world beater, but you did bring in some young talent coming off surgeries, so that's the question. How quickly do they get back up to help Hollywood Brown move things forward? Devin Duvernay, I've seen him written up in a few spots as one of those sneaky deep sleepers. Remains to be seen, but they just ponied up a lot of money for Mark Andrews as well, who I fear the injury bug for him. But all that said, great defense, and that offensive line is back and ready to roll. So we'll fight in the AFC North.
MVP in the NFL, part of our big preview week here in on the show. And for to win the MVP in the NFL, it's not just the best player, right? Because you could say, okay, well, it's easy to point this out, and it's not quite like MVP in Major League Baseball. To win the MVP in the NFL, you have to carve out your own storyline, and the season becomes about you for whatever way, shape, or form. Because look, in Major League Baseball, whoever, are we going to say, is the season about Fernando Tatis Jr.? No, it's not. Is it about Brandon Crawford? No, it's not. That's why it's different. But who is the football season going to be about? And who has the visibility and the opportunity to show that, hey, my team from last year, look at where I am this year and where we are and what I can do because of the season I'm having. And that's why I'm going to pick for MVP in the NFL this year, Zach. Oh, sorry. It just rhymes with Zach. Zach. I'm going
to
pick.
I'm trying to find him on my list here of
Zach Wilson.
I don't see him.
I'm going
to
pick.
Oh, no, there he is. He's 200 to 1.
Dak Prescott. For MVP in the NFL, right?
Well, that now, means you're Cowboys, making a big prediction that the leg and the shoulder aren't going to be an issue.
Look,
or the fact that his offensive lineman won't be there for the start.
Well, that's true, and it is going to be a little bit of stuff to overcome from him early. But when Dak Prescott, when we last saw him, the guy was playing at a really high level. He scored 30 touchdowns, nearly 5,000 yards passing. Okay, and he's coming back to a team that is going to be the story. Can the Cowboys get back to where they were after a year away and no Dak Prescott? The Cowboys already are one of the biggest stories in football every week. But as long as they win and are competing for the NFC East, and let's face it, the NFC East is terrible. It stinks. As good as Washington might be, this is still a team that was 7-9 last year and didn't really bring a whole bunch to make them better. Oh, but they were good the end. Yeah, still 7-9. Okay, 7-9. Doesn't matter. Who are their quarterbacks? 7-9. All right, yes, I like Washington. They're a nice little team, right? It's a nice little, but they didn't do anything to say, oh, look how good we're going to be. Here comes Dak Prescott, and 10 wins, 10-8. Is going to wind up winning that, or 10-7 is going to wind up winning that division or staying there. The division is awful. Dak's going to put up numbers. He is going to be a weekly story, and he's going to be someone that we flock to in the beginning of the season, much like last year where after the first couple weeks, oh, Russell Wilson's your MVP. Dude, it's week two. What are you talking about? This is going to be Dak Prescott, but because it's Dak and not Russell Wilson, this storyline is going to continue. And as long as Dak puts up numbers and the Cowboys stay in contention at the top of the NFC East, it's going to be Dak Prescott. Look, Josh Allen can have a phenomenal season. He plays for the Bills, right? In the end, he plays for the Bills. He can throw 40 touchdowns, plays for the Bills. Doesn't matter. Dak Prescott with a really good season, maybe a season that he has been building towards his NFL career because clearly he looked like he was getting there before he got hurt. Yeah, Dak Prescott, MVP in the NFL this year.
I like it. 16-1, the current odds as I look out here. That would make him the fifth favorite behind Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, and, well, Tom Brady. Tom Brady could do that. I go a little bit down. It would be easy to just say, all right, I predicted the most wins in the AFC to Baltimore. So Lamar Jackson, he's at 18-1. But we'll go a little further to that guy you mentioned. And look, on Monday, I've already got
Zach Wilson? Really? Zach Wilson?
No.
Oh, that dude, I like that. You mentioned him.
Sorry. You mentioned some others. Look, if I were a real wagering and lunatic, Jimmy Winston at 50-1 would be interesting. I call him Jimmy because my dad calls him Jimmy. He likes just calling him Jimmy. I don't know why.
Jimmy.
But it's like Jimmy. He listens to the show or something. So he picked up on that. But I am going to go back to Russell Wilson at 20-1. And on Monday, that's the B block of hour one, just so you know. MVP talk. While we're breaking down Monday Night Football as it happens. But I'll take Russell Wilson with the wideouts. Everett added as the tight end. I think the run game will be solid, but they're guys we know. They're a mix and match to three-man operation, but you'll have balance. Even though they say, you know, the fear is they'll want to run the ball. No, no, no. Russell's still going to have to do his thing. So the numbers come, the wins come, and at 20-1.
Finally, a Russell Wilson. Zero MVP votes. Finally, Russell Wilson gets it.
Well, he finally gets over, right? Because it's a story. It's the buildup, the love of Russell Wilson. And now is his opportunity. If nothing else, he's going to get a vote. Do I get anything for votes?
Sure, if you want it. Like, it's like boxing a bet, like in horse racing. Like, if he gets a vote, yes, if you box the bet. Like, you say, oh, he gets MVP votes. Okay, then you kind of win, but you win less money than if you just bet it straight out.
Okay, I like that. No, that's good.
Yeah,
we're going to box our 1, 2, 3 in the – I bet you we could probably do this somewhere.
Sure.
In the MVP candidacy. Baker Mayfield, at 35-1.
Oof, man. I don't know that he's going to have enough. I don't know that he's going to have enough.
The run game's going to overcompensate. Yeah, it's going to be overriding your Baker Mayfield love.
In Dak, they trust. Telling you, Dak Prescott, MVP.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Coming off of this weekend in college football, we've had a couple of days to look back at week one, have the overreaction. Is it not an overreaction? But what we saw over the course of the past few days, and really Saturday and Sunday, is that there is only one thing I need to say that will make everybody nod their head and go, yes, this is why we need an expanded college football playoff, right? And it's got nothing to do with, oh, here's a team that should have a chance. No, no, no. This is all you need to know. What did we see this weekend? Alabama looks great. And we just got to hope that at some point, can somebody beat them? Alabama's going to go to the playoff. The next best team was Ohio State. They looked really good too, right? Georgia wins. Oklahoma wins, right? This kills college football when every year it's the same teams that we're talking about going to the playoff. They expanded the playoff to 4 teams to get more teams involved, but these are the teams who go every single year. And college football isn't served best when there is a dynasty. It's very difficult. All right. In the 7 years of the playoff, there have been 28 spots, right? 4 years, 4 spots a year, right? So 28 spots total in the last 7 years of the playoffs. Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma have taken 20 of those spots. 20 of those spots in the last 7 years. So that means in 7 years, there have been 8 spots for the playoff that have not gone to Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, or Oklahoma. I mean, how do you build interest? How do you build, hey, this part of the country is so into that? You can't. All right? College football is so regionalized that you need to be able to find a way to build interest across the country. And when – let's just take the West Coast for a second with UCLA and USC. Do they walk around thinking, hey, we're going to the college football playoff? No, they're thinking, boy, we got to go undefeated. We got to hope that somebody likes us because we're not going to get the benefit of the doubt because teams like Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson and Oklahoma, they're all going to get the benefit of the doubt. And they're going to be the teams that go because that's where the attention is. That kills college football. That is what is killing the sport because it's when you already know 3 of the 4 spots before you kick off the one game, How do you build? How do you build momentum? How do you build interest? This is why the college football season needs more play, needs more teams in it. Because let's just say, all right, we're going to see these teams in it. Fine, I get it. I understand. We're going to see these four teams in it every year. But think of the excitement, because it's going to be teams like Penn State and Oregon and USC and UCLA and Iowa State and Cincinnati and Texas A&M, all these who are trying to get into that other four spots or other six spots, whatever it winds up being. How much more exciting is that when you're talking about more teams available for more playoff spots? I mean, just think about it. Think about how backwards college football is compared to the rest of the world, right? Major League Baseball used to run, when baseball first started, they had an American League and a National League. And if you finished with the best record in the American League, you won the pennant, National League pennant, and you played in the World Series. That's it. There was no, hey, we had the wild cards, we had the, no. And what happened? Over time, all sports, but especially baseball, realized that more teams in the playoffs meant more interest, more money, more everything, right? So everybody's adding playoff teams. The NFL is adding playoff teams. College football says, we'll go from not really having one to having two teams. We'll go to four teams. That's not enough. And as we can see, because it's not like you're turning over new teams every single year, you are seeing the same teams. So now think about a playoff which is going to involve Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, but then also involves Notre Dame and Penn State and Oregon and Florida and USC and Texas and UCLA. How much more interesting is that? How much more across the country is it, oh my God, what, this team's going to get in, they're going to get in, they're going to get in. It just makes it more exciting. It's more money for guys. It's more money. It solves all the problems. College football's been backwards for so long. But that's the only argument I really need. Why do you need an expanded playoff? Because how boring of a season is it going to be where every week it's about Georgia wins again, Ohio State wins again, Georgia's going to play Alabama in the SEC title game, and whoever loses, it doesn't matter. They're both still making it into the playoff because they're both. Really, there's no excitement. There's no excitement there. You need these teams to lose and lose a couple of times to have a general sense of global, hey, I want to see what happens here in college football. That's why we need more teams in the playoff, because this is the way it is, right? Like I said, 7 years now, and it's been four teams taking 20 out of the 28 slots. It's why we need an expanded playoff.
In the end, it's all about eyeballs and revenue. How do we, I mean, we're already talking about the opening up the ad sales for the next Super Bowl on Fox, so the one after this. And they're saying that a 30-second ad is going to be $6 million to start, right? That is as inventory is full. And then obviously, as you get closer, whatever ads are remaining, the price of poker goes up. Same thing here as you're talking about college football. The more interest, the more big cities that get involved. We talk about that with baseball all the time, right? Getting into September and having teams still vying for a second wild card spot. It's good for business, good for ratings on all of your baseball preview and review shows, and for the games themselves. And college football had a huge week one, but I don't want people to get it twisted. Are people excited it's back? Absolutely. Will that continue somewhat, right? As we talked about, the 36% boost expected for betting, sure. The trickle-down effect is you're also betting on college now, which means that you're probably going to at least have a cursory look at a lot more games maybe than you would in years past. Does it mean you're sitting down there for 3+ hours? No. No, folks have to remember that about, you know, when you're placing bets on stuff, you don't necessarily actually watch it, because the folks that are running numbers are doing just that. They're running the numbers. That's all they care about. They're running the numbers, whether it be, you know, a college game, a pro game, of any sport. And so when we get down to it, as the NCAA has all these changes afoot, your point, 20 of 28 slots to those four schools, you know, domination is great, but we need other teams to potentially be there playing out the any given Saturday, Sunday, or Monday kind of situation to give you a chance, right? And right now that would mean that a Notre Dame would get in, and in Iowa, say what you will, they travel, they bring money. Iowa goes everywhere. Penn State goes. There's a number of schools where you start thinking about, all right, if you expand the playoff, what do you got? You got a loyal group of fans and the student body that are going to find their way into those stadiums to make it another raucous atmosphere like we saw across the country this past week. So, yeah, follow the money. There's interest, and then that trickles down to more and more ad buys and excitement through November, right? Because next week, even for all the gains that college football had this week, what happens? Yeah, you pay attention, but all right, if you got to make family commitments and all, what are you doing? Are you choosing your alma mater? Sure, that's 3 hours. But for a whole day, what are you doing? Oh, I got my fantasy games. I got my buddies. I got whatever else. You know, the NFL, I think on a per-day viewing amount of time spent probably dwarfs college football.
I'll tell you, and the other part of it is this, Mike. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. The other part is this. The argument of, oh, it's too big of a change for college football for the playoff, right? That's the big one. It's too big. Do we need all those teams? Do we need that change? It's unnecessary. I don't know that we need it, right? That's the big pushback that it's always been from the different factions, whether it's commissioners or whether it's conference commissioners or not making these decisions. We don't need it. It's too much. It's watered down. It doesn't matter. You get all these answers. Time out a second. Don't you see there are seismic changes every 5 minutes in college football?
Yeah.
Look at what NIL has done. This is just in the last month. You're talking about players who come in now as millionaires because they're coming because of this, because you've screwed up college football. So many things are happening in the sport.
The Alliance.
You're talking about, yes, you're getting to a power SEC, ACC type alliance that is coming where they're going to pluck the teams they want to from the – they'll pluck Florida State and say, we're fine. Then you got the Big Ten, Pac-12, Alliance. The sport changes every 5 minutes. But suddenly, they have decided that the playoff is what's most sacred. No, not the fact that now anybody who walks into Alabama is going to be making over $1 million as a starting quarterback. No, that's not a big. But boy, we let more teams in the playoff. That's really going to be the downfall of college football. I mean, they don't see what the real thing is that's hurting the sport. Is that all these decisions they have made in the past few years to control money, to control flow, the power brokers doing things very selfishly for them, whether it's a conference, it's different conferences, or like I said, power brokers, they don't see that that's what has hurt the sport, and that's why all these different branches are starting to break off the college football tree. Here's NIL. Here go these conferences who want to realign together. But the playoff, really? Somehow they all get together on the playoff and say, no, we don't want to expand it because we don't think it's a good idea. All these other things are going on to college football. But the playoff, the one thing that would be that all teams would want, that all fans would want, that would mean more money and more everything for college. Well, no, that's what we're saying no to. I scratch my head and I walk away sometimes and go, this is why college football is where it is right now. Because they don't see something that they can make this decision just like everything else is going on. But no, here's where we're drawing the line.
Well, you want to hold on to something. And even if it is a short-term departure from the old BCS, which based on the convergence of these super conferences to come, doesn't it feel like we'd end up back there on some level? It's like your champion over here, your champion over there. It's like, but you know, the AFL and NFL getting together for those first two games before it became a Super Bowl. It's just the idea that you're trying to figure out how to hold on to whatever power administrative that you have, and the rules that have been in place that are now being torn up and rewritten by all of these rulings when the Supreme Court gets involved and everything else, where you're trying to make sure that schools are staffing properly to help administrate these NIL deals to protect the kids, right? Because it's supposed to be about the children. So you've got to do something on the administrative side at each university to try to help with that process. So when you add it all up, what do you have to hold near and dear? Your playoffs. That's your cash cow. That's your end of the season payoff for all of the ills, all of the targeting penalties, and all of the angry letters about the different pieces of television coverage and refereeing that people don't like.
All these things that have made college football a mess. Oh, but expanding the play. Now you've gone too far. Oh, I've gone too far now. Okay, I got it. All right.
No, but that's just it.
Sorry. I'm being silly. I'm being silly right now.
And folks, and we've gotten some feedback on Twitter, and I appreciate you guys jumping in. You just say cash grabs. Like, Well, yeah. It is a business after all. You may not like it. You may want to go to the sanctity of the amateur status in college football. That went out the door a long time ago, guys. Now it's a matter of how do you continue to expand and better your product and the universities themselves. What do you need? More cash. Keep the revenues flowing. And the football playoffs, as it stands right now, they do it. But what if you win a little bit more? You say there's no chance they win? No. Again, anything can happen. An injury here, as we're in the age of COVID, you have no idea availability. Strange things happen, man. I don't wish it on anybody, but reality is very much that. And you can do the whole Al Pacino speech. But the reality is you can go out and on any given day, you can find it. Look, the Jaguars are going to win a couple of games. The Houston Texans are going to win a couple of games. Syracuse won a game. I mean, come on.
We're the best team in the ACC. Everybody else has problems. We have none.
Everybody else has problems. Top 15 schools all lost.
They all got problems. If the season ended today, Syracuse is in the playoff as the best team in the ACC.
Look at you.